I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the MVP Show. My intention is that you listen to the stories of these MVP guests and are inspired to become an MVP and bring value to the world through your skills. If you have not checked it out already, I do a YouTube series called How to Become an MVP. The link is in the show notes. With that, let's get on with the show. Today's guest is from Orlando, Florida in the US of A. He's a lead trainer at Superpower Labs. He was first awarded as MVP in 2023. The great thing about him, he's a YouTuber, content creator. You can find him on TikTok and you can find him on most social medias. I've watched a lot of his videos. He's been in the IT industry since 1999, mostly as a software developer, trainer, and IT generalist. You can find links to his bio, social media, etc. in the show notes for this episode. Welcome to the show, Darren.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate this.
Good to have you on the show. You know, I suppose the first place I came across you was TikTok.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Usually it's YouTube. So I'm glad to hear that the people you find me on TikTok. I use TikTok quite a bit myself just to consume stuff that's interesting, you know.
Yeah. Of course. I'm a big consumer. Tell me about food, family, and fun. What do they mean to you?
Food, the first thing that comes to mind is pizza. I eat pizza almost every day, and that's probably not good for my in fact, I know it's not good for my figure. Family, I am a husband and father of six children. Yes, you heard that right, six. Fun. You know what? To be honest, I love power apps. That's what I find fun.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Six kids, mate. You've been busy.
Yeah, a little bit. I can tell you the story if you want to hear it. I don't know if it would be all that interesting.
Are there any triplets? Or
I got twin boys. The third pregnancy was twin boys. My first marriage. So essentially I wanted a boy and we had two girls. I'm like, and then the third one was doubles. and then I remarried. So I have two toddlers in the house right now. So,
wow. I know what that's like. I've got a 3-year-old and a 1.5-year-old.
Wow.
Yeah. And I came from a family of seven. So seven kids. So I know what big families are like. So,
okay.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Hey, so, you know, what I'm interested in is you've obviously created a lot of content. For example, if I look at your YouTube channel, you've got around, 15,000 plus, almost 16,000 subscribers coming on there. Is that your main thing? Is that you create content? Because I just noticed in the last probably 5 years, a lot of MVPs that, you know, I think, you know, blogging or forums was their thing. But YouTube has really come of age, right? And a lot of people are creating amazing YouTube channels. What's your typical process outside of what you do with, you do some live streaming as well, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, most of the content that I create, most of the content that I release on YouTube is the live streams. You know, we go live every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern. And, you know, there's a lot less video editing to do. A lot of times the video editing takes longer than actually shooting the video. So, of course, I feel like that's a win-win and people seem to like the live streams. But if I feel like there is a need in the Power Platform community that I could answer that would provide value, I will take the time to make a video specifically for that. But yeah.
And tell me a bit about your tools, tools of the trade. So camera, microphone, let's start with those.
So I am using a Yeti Blue mic. It's actually of course I'm touching it. I probably shouldn't touch this. A World of Warcraft themed Blue Yeti. So that sort of exposes me more back to the fun. I do play World of Warcraft when I have time, which is very scarce.
I know what you mean.
So that's my mic. I think I paid an extra $100 just for all the, cause I could hit a button and I guess there's software and I could make myself sound like characters or things inside the game. I thought that was, of course, I never use it, but, camera, I got a little fancy on the camera. My wife does marketing and she needed a good solid camera to do some high level photography work. And, so we bought her a camera for her business. It's a Nikon Z6. It's a mirrorless full frame camera. And I'm using a 50 millimeter prime lens. So there's no zooming or anything, but I can open up the aperture and these lights that you, I know, this is an audio podcast, but you can see there's some like blurry stuff. That's actually lights in my background. Yeah. So, and then the Nikon was sitting around one day. I'm like, I bet that would be a really cool webcam. I started using it and I fell in love with it. So I had to buy her buy myself one of them. So wouldn't be taken away from her. Yeah.
Nice. And what about lighting? Do you have key lights and whatnot? That's, you know, part of you.
Yeah. So I've got some, basic run of the mill lighting that I picked up, on Amazon. So one of the lights, I actually used, I got a little bit into photography when we bought the Nikon, and it's a light that doesn't flash. It's constantly on, probably like $80. And I got two of these big lights that and there's something in front of the light to make it soft. As you can see, my face is facing that. And then I've got like just a regular run of the mill ring light off to the side that sort of serves as the fill light.
Nice. Very cool. Tell me about growing an audience. You know, 15,000 is in our community, that's a good number. You know, there's a few people that got some higher numbers, but, you know, I've been on YouTube for a long time and don't come anywhere close to those type of numbers. How have you grew on that audience?
I think at the most basic level, I just want to provide value, you know, and I listen even whenever the feedback, sometimes in the comments, you'll get somebody that's fairly frank. And I was always told, it's like, hey, don't, if you're a sensitive person, don't read your comments or turn the comments off because people are really nasty and mean. I really haven't experienced much of that at all, but sometimes there's some constructive criticism like, oh man, ouch, you know, but if I just take a moment and consider what they're saying and ask myself, what truth is in this? What type of things can I change that will ultimately make it better, for the, you know, my viewership? And, you know, I got some advice from somebody years ago, which is in, when you interact with people, don't try to take value. Don't ask for value, provide the value. You know, just provide the value, provide the value, provide the value, you know, and then you become valuable. And a lot of times people will say, hey, is there anything I can do for you? It's like, well, you know, I did all this expecting nothing in return, but if you could help me with this, that would be valuable to me, you know. And I find people are reciprocal in nature. You know, like you walk into a department store, you hold the door for a family coming in with kids or, you know, and usually the dad or somebody in the group will hold the door for, you know, it's just like, I just believe it's natural people. You know, you give them value, you help them out, and you establish relationship, which is what I believe business a lot of times comes down to. I'm just not looking for some type of, if there is any type of monetary exchange or transaction, that itself isn't important to me. I want to have a long-term relationship with people and take care of people, you know, and continuously provide that value under promise, over deliver.
I love it. Tell me, you said Power Apps is your thing. How did you get into Power Apps? How did you first discover it? And tell me your journey in that space.
This is actually an interesting story. I'm really glad that you asked this. This is really cool. So I was working at as a contractor for the state of Florida, and one of the agencies there. And in each district of the state, in the state of Florida, and I'm sure other states are like this, where we had 7 different districts in the state. It's just, you know, geographically sort of split up. And they had one of me in each district, and we were called application development liaisons. And we're software developers. And so if there was an app that needed to be done, if there's any type of automation, we were the one person in the matter of, maybe 10 counties within the state, you know, and I would be it. And once a year, they would have us all go up to the capital of Florida, which is Tallahassee, the very northern tip. And we would get together. All of us liaisons would be able to meet each other in person. And we would try to collaborate and overcome some of the challenges that we're all experiencing and all this stuff. And then they're at the headquarters. They had software architects and other software developers and managers and executives that would either be listening or contributing to the situation. And what happened was there was this one individual that got up and he said, listen, each of us has between 20 and 40 applications that we support. And they were a Microsoft shop, C#, ASP.NET, SQL Server. I've pretty much based my whole career, 25 years, on Microsoft technologies. And so that's what we're all using. And there was a liaison that was using a Microsoft product called LightSwitch. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but
I've heard of it. Yep.
Yeah. So it's sort of like, I believe it was a little bit of a code generator. And it allowed you to do things very quickly, a rapid application development platform, or a RAD tool. And, it actually utilized Silverlight. I think there was a legal problem with it, to be honest. I believe we sort of dug around, like, why is Microsoft abandoning this LightSwitch? Cause that was the main objection by the software architects. It's like, listen, you just showed us 10 applications you did in LightSwitch in 2 months. But we can't use it because Microsoft is saying, hey, we're no longer supporting this starting, you know, in a few months or whatever. And at first we're getting all excited. And then we heard that, we're like, oh. And what his response to that was, like, listen, I don't care if we use LightSwitch or not, but us liaisons, we need a tool to whip out applications quickly, not just an application every 3 months or 6 months, or in some cases a year, a large project. So they were like, okay, well, there's this thing out there called Power Apps, and a lot of us hadn't heard of it. Maybe we had, but we hadn't touched it because it was sort of like, you know, it had to be enabled, and we were in a government tenant, and we were like a few versions behind and all this stuff. And I kept on asking, I'm like, hey, can you guys turn that on? Hey, can you turn it on? Can you turn it on for me? Blah, blah, blah. Like a year and a half later, my boss said, hey, would you like to be the guy that sort of spearheads this and find out if this is actually viable for us liaisons? And so I checked it out, and at first I thought, oh, this tool isn't, yeah, this isn't good. You know, I had so many problems at first, and I thought it was the tool. And what I slowly realized is that no, I was the one, that sucked. I was the one that wasn't using the tool right. There were a lot of things. Actually, as a software developer, I had to sort of like get out of my head. You know, as a full stack developer or traditional type of developer, you might have a variable. Let's call it X equals whatever, you know, or in the case of Power Apps, I was trying to put a value into a text box or text input control. I'll say text input 1 dot .text equals, and nothing would happen. And I'm like, what is going on here? This is junk. This is a toy, you know? But, I started to do apps just little by little. And it was a slow, I tell people, if you go to my YouTube channel, I have a little trailer and I say, listen, I'm a software developer over 25 years. I'm here to, you know, teach you Power Apps. But guess what? Power Apps was difficult for me. It took me like a good solid 6 months to wrap my mind around it. And there was like this moment where everything sort of clicked. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can do all kinds of things with this tool. You know, so, I'm trying to remember what the question was. Did I answer the question or did I go off?
No, you're right. You're telling your story about how you got into Power Apps, and that's brilliant. That it wasn't just an overnight thing. You know, you've grown with it. And when you say you use Power Apps, are you a SharePoint backend person or are you a proper Dataverse person?
I would like to be known as a proper database type of guy. Working for the state of Florida, they didn't want to buy premium licensing for all the users in the state, which was like 10,000 for that agency. And, SharePoint was the only thing. In fact, I've done a poll on my YouTube channel where I put a post out there in the community tab. I say, guys, I'm not asking what is the best data source. What do you think the best data source? I'm asking what is the main data source that you reach for or that you use in your Power Apps? You know, just give me one answer. Is it SharePoint? Is it SQL Server? Is it Dataverse or something else? I think it was a little over 70% said SharePoint. And so I got really good working for the state of Florida using SharePoint. I probably did a dozen apps. And you know what? It worked really well. I don't like the fact that a user maybe could find out where the data is at, you know, because they have to have access to the SharePoint list, right? And they find that's like a developer's worst nightmare is users going directly to the data source and modifying and ignoring all the business rules I built into my application.
It's interesting because I've always come from partner side. For me, SharePoint, and particularly its governance model is just, and its ALM portability, all those type of things. When you work at a partner, right, you're working across customers. And if you want to lift functionality from one environment to another, SharePoint's not your first tool of choice, right? Because it's very difficult to manage that type of thing. And it was interesting. I just did a project recently after I've had 20 years coming from Dynamics CRM as a background, therefore all model-driven, Dataverse-centric. And I did a project that was just on SharePoint, and we got 9 months in, and I said, let's get rid of that SharePoint out of the mix. We're going to go to Dataverse because the amount of overhead that it was creating for the team, we're deploying to one of the largest banks in Australia. The amount of overhead it was creating by sticking with SharePoint was just not worth the effort when you've got to have a full stack, you know, ALM process, cross-tenant, not just cross-environment, you know, deployment models. SharePoint just doesn't cut it, I find, on the big projects. So,
absolutely. Yeah. SQL Server is my favorite one.
What's that?
I said SQL Server is my absolute favorite.
Wow. Yes. If you've come from I'd understand that. The thing is that I think why there's been such an adoption of SharePoint is because of that freemium model, right? It was easy to find. And if you're an end customer using the technology, who doesn't have SharePoint, right? So tick, that's done. And I know of so many people in the Power Apps community that just hit the build an app in SharePoint, and that was their first exposure to Power Apps, and they're off to the races, you know. So it is interesting. It is interesting. And it's horses for courses. But it's interesting that your polling showed that 70% are using SharePoint. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next 5 years, because I think Microsoft may have feel they've hurt themselves with their seeded model, in that it was so good. People didn't need to go to premium, and I think that it might have hurt them from a revenue perspective. But who knows? Last question: becoming an MVP. What are your thoughts?
It's nice to be recognized as somebody providing value and helping people in the community. That's my first thought. And, you know, I'm a Microsoft fanboy. I have so many certifications. I stopped doing the certification thing. I used to work for a lot of Microsoft partners. Of course, they want to get all these, you know, the MCDBA, MCSA, MCSD. You know, I was a MC Microsoft certified trainer and everything. But, I actually you know, it's much different than a certification, of course, but you're being recognized for that. So it's something that I appreciate. I feel like that is a gift from, my viewership. Cause if there was no audience, then, you know, I that value wouldn't have been there and I wouldn't have never been nominated for it. I know that, how it came about for me, Daniel Christian contacted me, I believe over Twitter, and asked me if I'd been nominated for MVP. I'm like, no, I would be very honored, you know, if I was nominated. And he nominated me right away. And I was very grateful for that. Now, at the time, I had been out there on YouTube for maybe 8 months, something along those lines. So the nomination went and then it was reviewed and then it was denied because I hadn't been around for a year. I hadn't been contributing for a year. So it was like perhaps too early, you know. And then during that time, Matthew Devaney, he reached out and he asked me the same question. I'm like, actually, Daniel Christian nominated me, you know. And I said, it's still pending. And he says, well, if you ever need another nomination, let me know. I would gladly do that for you. And so when it sort of fell apart, I reached back out to Daniel Christian and didn't get a response right away. Perhaps I used, you know, maybe sometimes, you know, people don't get their Twitter messages or if they're not checking them or whatever. I'm sure I'm guilty of that myself, but, I reached out to Matt and I'm like, hey, you know, I need another nomination if you're still willing, you know. So he nominated me and I you know, I feel blessed that, you know, went through and you know, I was awarded that or recognized as that. So I'm sort of humbled and I'm grateful.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Business Application MVP Mark Smith, otherwise known as the NZ365 Guy. If you like the show and want to be a supporter, check out buymeacoffee.com/NZ365 guide. Thanks again and see you next time.